Well, good morning. Would you help me welcome our Westminster, Colorado Springs and online campus who are worshiping with us today? It's so great to have you in the house of the Lord. And just a special shout out. How many of you were here Thursday night or on your campus for Seth Gruber? It was great. Just want to give a special thanks to all those that were in the core. This was the first time we've really done a big event like that where the whole thing was taken care of. Everybody did such an incredible job, from welcoming people to passing out popcorn to helping people find their seats. It was just such a delightful event. So thank you so much for all of you that served and did a fantastic job making that a special night. Again, as a reminder, as you know on your campuses already, today we begin our 21 days of prayer. Please pick up your Pray First period bands to remind you to pray throughout this 21 days. We're expecting God to do some great things. And with that, let's continue our worship this morning as we prepare our hearts in prayer to go before the Lord and hear His living and His active word among us. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, all the thanksgiving. It belongs to you and you alone, because you and you alone are worthy of all of our glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, as we seek you this morning, Lord, we're asking you to move mightily, because we as a people believe that every single time that your word is faithfully and accurately proclaimed, that you are speaking. And so our prayer this morning, Lord, is speak, for we are ready to hear. And so now for all those who have gathered who desire to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak directly to you, who will believe what he tells you and who will by faith put into practice what he shows you, will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen. Amen. I want to let you know that you've been lied to. You've been lied to, because if you watch television, if you listen to social media, if you listen to politicians, if you've watched movies about what marriage and family is, about what singleness is, I promise you that you've been lied to, especially when it comes to what God's design for singleness is. So today we're going to address singles. And to all you marrieds that would say, oh, I picked the wrong day to come, that's how singles feel every time we do a marriage series. Right? So buckle up. And if you're asking the question, well, what's it going to be for me? I believe, as I prayed, that every time the word is preached, that God has something for you. And because a majority of our population is single, because your kids are single, we need to understand why God designed singleness and what singleness is from his perspective, because I promise you this, Hollywood is not helping. And so we need to look into the word of God, and we need to see what God's going to say. So this week I took a little time. I was super excited to preach this message out of the whole series. We do this Families Fortified series. I look forward to sharing this message, because I know what I'm about to share with you, it doesn't get shared very often. And when it does, it gets shared very apologetically. And I'll tell you how I know. Because I started Googling this weekend, I was Googling like singles, Christian singles, verses for Christian singles. And I got so depressed at what was showing up as I was texting these things in. I mean, do you know that the verses that they give to Christian singles are almost identical to the verses they would give to people that are in hospice? Do not worry about your life. It's almost as if we're so sorry. Here's the truth. You were born single. If the only way you have value is by getting married, then you can't have value until you get married, which means you're not valuable unless you are married, which means the word of God's completely not true. And so instead of just walking through singles, what should you do, what shouldn't you do, and how do you find a mate, and all these things, I know there's singles here for different reasons. And by the way, let me just be clear on this, okay? I asked one of our pastors this morning, I was asking a couple of them, are you single? And one of them I thought was single is like, not really. And I'm like, well, bro, are you married? He's like, no, but I'm about ready to get engaged. I'm like, then you're single, right? You're either single or you're married. There is no in between. Some of you are single and have never been married. Some of you are single who were once married. You've been widowed or divorced. Some of you are single and super satisfied. Some of you are single and frustrated to death. I get it. Well, I'm talking to a wide swath of people that are single. But what I really felt compelled this week as I was putting this message together is to give you a charge as a single, so you will walk out of here with your shoulders back and your head held high for everything that Jesus Christ is already doing in your life and what he's going to do in your life. Amen? And that's what today's about. I mean, you think about the Great Commission for a second. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And guess what? I'll be with you always to the end of the age. That's called the Great Commission, we call it. It means that if you're a believer in Christ, he set you on a worldwide global enterprise to be involved in all that God wants to accomplish while you're alive. He set the dates, the times, the places for which you live. And whether you're single or whether you're married, that's your mission. Go all in that mission. Go all in that mission. Well, singles aren't just as important. If that were true, then the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ meant nothing to God's word. They're both single. And when I read the Apostle Paul, I don't read a victimization in his writing. He doesn't write in Philippians, "For me to live is for a bride, or to die is in vain." That's not what he says. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's not praying, "Lord, if you let the Father, if you let this cup pass from me because I haven't been married yet, and if you give me a wife, then I get married, have kids, and then one day I'll go to the cross." He's satisfied in who he is. And here's the truth. If you're not satisfied as a single, you'll never be satisfied as a married. Never. So here's what I would say to all singles. Stop believing the lie that you're a victim if you're single. It is not a victimization. It is a state of life where you can maximize your effectiveness in the mission to which God has called you. Amen? How do you maximize your faithfulness? And so today, to look at that, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, specifically verse 8. But I'll set it up for you by reading the verses beforehand. And where this is coming is Moses has been told by God he's not going to enter the promised land. He's not going to get there. He's not able to take them in because of his sin, but that Joshua is going to be the one to lead him in. Moses has become comfortable with when God speaks, God is true. And so what's happening is they're handing the baton from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua is going to get called up in front of all of Israel. And what Moses is going to tell him is that all of God's promises for Israel that were going to come through me are now going to come through you. And what he's trying to say is that God's promises are the same in every single generation. So trust God and believe his promises. So Moses went, Deuteronomy 31, Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, "I am 120 years old today and I'm no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross this Jordan.' It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites in their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with them. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses called Joshua in front of all of them and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to give to their fathers and to give to them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance." And then here's the verse we're going to focus on today. Notice this promise of the Lord. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And you say, well, what does that have to do with singleness? It has to do with everything being single, because too often singles are not willing to trust God for their current circumstances or where God is leading them. And so they approach God with this victimization of, why am I still single? And how come I don't have a wife? And it's so miserable. And until you give me this, I can't. And they complain and they whine and they complain and they whine. And how many know that when we grumble, God's not listening to us? And so what Moses is telling Israel and what he's commissioning Joshua in front of all Israel is this: God hasn't changed. His promises are still true. You can still trust him. He's an unfailing God. He will never let you down. He will always be faithful to his promise if you're faithful to him. Trust him. Singles, marrieds, trust God. That's the message. And I'm going to give you four ways that you can trust God today if you're single. Because some of you are single today and you're like, I'm single and I'm satisfied and I don't ever want to get married. I've been married before, don't ever want to do that again. Or I've never been married and I don't want to get married. Great. These four will work for you. Some have said this: I'm single and I don't like being single and I want to get married and I want to know what the plan is. These will work for you. Some that are divorced say, I've been divorced, but I wish it would have gone differently and I want to know what God has for me. This is for you. And I promise you, if you listen today and you put these into practice and you trust God in the way that he's talking to your heart, you will see him move in your life. And the first is this, trust God's leading. Trust God's leading. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. The Lord your God is the one who goes ahead of you. What does that mean? It means God is the one who guides you. God is the one who's always leading. God is the one who's always taking you to where you need to go. God is the one who's always engineering the circumstances. God is the God of providence. God is the one who's walking beside you. God knows your situation. He's familiar with your situation. Perhaps you're in your situation because you made some bad choices. God's still the God of comfort. God's still the God that walks with you. God's still the God that will go with you. Here's my point. You need to go all in with God and follow him. And not listen to what everybody else is saying. And not listen to what the world tells you. And not listen to what your friends tell you. But what is God saying to you in this season in your life in order for you to maximize your faithfulness in Jesus Christ? Trust his leading. Trust his timing. Trust when God's going to do what God's going to do. I mean, we read Psalm 23 or we quote it all the time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It means I am not in want. There's nothing I need that God's not going to give me. There's nothing for my good that God's not going to provide. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides for me. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. God is always wanting to guide and lead you and be with you when he's doing it, no matter where you are. So that's great, but where's my spouse? When are you going to get to that part? If you follow the Lord, he's got your plan designed. Psalm 84:11 says that no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. He won't withhold good from you. He's not up in heaven. And here's the lie of the enemy. You're doing something wrong. Maybe you are. That's conviction from the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there's things that you need to change. There's sinful behaviors in your life you need to repent of so that the Lord can move on your behalf. That's true. But sometimes when you're living obediently to Christ, that's when the enemy lies to you and says, if you go all in with Jesus, he's going to withhold things from you. God does not withhold good things from his children when they're walking in obedience with him. So let's just clear the air a little bit. How do you know if you're called to get married or not? How do you know? Well, 1 Corinthians 7 makes it pretty clear. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, now concerning the things which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Hey, it's good. If you're single, here's your call. Celibacy. That's your call. You don't get to touch a woman. You don't get to kiss on a woman. You don't get to hold on a woman. You know why? Because she doesn't belong to you. She belongs to God. So all singles, celibacy is your call. And if that's exciting for you, like if Jesus was to show up in all of his glory today and says, I've called you to be single for the rest of your life, and inside your heart you're saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I can devote even more time to you without that distraction. You're probably called to be single. If Jesus showed up in all of his glory and said, I want you to be single for the rest of your life, and you were thoroughly discouraged at every fiber of your being and were mad and frustrated, chances are you're not called to be single. Because notice what Paul goes on to say. Paul goes on to say this, but because of immoralities, each man should have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. If you have sexual desire, you're not called to be single. We've understood celibacy wrong. The Roman Catholic Church has it all wrong. They think if you're really, really spiritual, then you are to be celibate. And if you're celibate, that means you're hyper-spiritual. And we know that doesn't work because if you're not called to be celibate, but you think you're called to be celibate, it comes out in all sorts of aberrant ways. Being a Christian, if you have a sexual desire, guess who gave you that desire? God. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God designed gender, God designed sexuality, God designed marriage, and God said, that's very good. And in Genesis 2, the husband and the wife were both naked, and guess what? They had no shame. God does not blush at sexuality. God wrote an entire book, Song of Solomon, on sexuality, which one day I'll teach, and I'm always wondering, how am I going to get through chapter 1? I mean, the book starts out, oh, that he may kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is more delightful than wine. Two things evangelicals don't talk about a lot, kissing and comparing it to drinking wine. And that's how the book starts. And then it gets interesting. God doesn't blush at sexuality. If you're a young boy or a young girl and you're having feelings as you're going through puberty, that's normal. But what God created was God created a container to house sexuality, and the container he created is called marriage. Because sexuality was not designed to please you, sexuality was designed for you to please somebody else. That's why anything that falls shy of sexuality outside of marriage, where it's a husband and wife pleasing each other, it's sin. Pornography's sin. Every single time, because it's all about pleasing you. Sex outside of marriage, sin every single time. Why? Because if you're a believer, the only place that the Holy Spirit shows up and makes it Holy Spirit worship-filled sex is in the container of marriage. And in marriage, God's like, I created this, go for it, this is great. This is how you're connecting, this is how you're growing, this is how you're building. Don't blush, it's good, it's great. And I say that because so many people grow up in church and here's what they hear. Sex is bad, 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 sex is bad. I do. Sex is good. Well, you can't make the shift. It's good now, but it's so good that God says it's so good, it's so powerful, it's so sticky, it's so lasting that the only place that you can have this relationship and not get hurt is in the context of marriage. Amen? That's why the Bible says all the other sins you sin, you commit outside your body, but sexuality is different. It's like if you glue a piece of white construction paper to black construction paper and you let it sit overnight and then you try to rip it apart, you're gonna have specks of black on the white and specks of white on the black. And those of you that know that have engaged in sexual intercourse outside of marriage and you didn't plan on getting married, it rips apart, it hurts. Because God designed marriage to be so sticky. So God's not saying sex is bad. God says, I designed it. It's really, really good. And every married person here should say, amen, right? But it's so good, and it's so powerful, and it's so sticky, and it's so lasting that I created a container for it. It's called marriage. And here's what Paul says. If you don't have a desire for that, that's okay. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, this is why you need to have your own wife, and wives, you need to have your own husband. And when you do get married, your job is to frequently please one another sexually. The only time you should be taking time off is to spend extra time in prayer, and only for a season, so then you can come back together so you won't be tempted by the enemy. It's good. But he says, I'm not telling you that you have to do this, Paul says. Because in 1 Corinthians 7, 6, he says, I say this by way of concession, not as command, yet I wish all men were even as I myself am. In other words, I wish all guys could just stay single and give full devotion to God. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widow that it's good for them if they remain even as I am. It's good to be single, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than burn with passion. If you have passion, it's not for your dating life. It's for marriage. That's what God says. And here's why it's so important. I mean, did you ever have rooms in your house growing up where you weren't allowed to go in? They just kind of sat there. They were like for special guests or special times. Like you rarely ever used the room. Like when Kim and I got married, we were given all sorts of gifts in the registry, which is kind of unique because I found that the husband doesn't get to put his name in or what he wants. It's usually just the bride that puts what she wants. And so there's towels and flowers and, you know, different things and China. So we started receiving gifts. We got China, a big plate, a smaller plate, a cup, a saucer, China. Just the pattern we wanted, apparently. And so we got it, and it stayed in a box. And I remember when we got married, I was asking Kim, you know, we were having dinner one night. I'm like, let's get it out. She said, no. I said, why not? She goes, these are too valuable. I was like, well, what are you going to do with them? Check this out. She said, well, we need to get a china cabinet. I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, these are so valuable. They can't just sit anywhere. They have to be seen. So we bought a china cabinet. And we still didn't use them. But the cool thing about a china cabinet is when you come over, you can see the china through the cabinet because it has a window. And I always thought when people came to our house, it was like looking upon this great china that was so good that you can't even eat off of it. Right? And that is how God designed sexuality. It's so good. It's so valuable. It's so special that it can only be reserved for a special thing. And the only place that you can have that level of intimacy and not get hurt is in a marriage where you are building one another up in Christ, where there's permanence to it, where there's no fear of one or the other leaving, where you're vowed before God saying, I'm with you and I'm only with you and I'm just with you. And God says, that's good. That's why I gave it to you. And it's going to create a stickiness in your marriage that you only share with that one person and nobody else. And that's how God designed it. And God said, it's very good. It's very, very good. But the Corinthians didn't get that. I mean, in chapter 6, I mean, you got this congregation that were saying things like this in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me. You know, I can do whatever I want. I'm saved. Jesus will forgive me. I can get away with this. I mean, who cares if I'm on a date and I'm having sex? I mean, God forgives. And Paul says, well, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And all things may be lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And the Corinthians, which was like the Las Vegas or Hollywood of the day, would say things like this: food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. You know, here's what they're saying. They were saying, you know, food's enjoyable. And when I get hungry, I'm fulfilling a God-given need and I'm satisfied. So, therefore, let me tell you this. When I have a sexual need, it's fulfilling a God-given desire because he gave me this and then I'll be satisfied. And he says, sex and food are not the same. He said, because when you engage in sexual intercourse, you become one with the person that you engage with. You wouldn't take Christ and unite him with a prostitute, would you? If you're a believer in Christ, he goes everywhere you go. And that's why a one-night stand is way more than a one-night stand, because it's not just a one-night stand and it's over. You just joined yourself as one with that person, but then you didn't plan on staying with that person, so you got ripped apart and you got your heart all messed up because you came together in a non-marriage marriage to become one with somebody you were never one with in the first place, and then you pulled apart and you wonder why your heart is wrecked, because God didn't intend it that way. And I got to say this before we move on. There's grace and forgiveness for all of it. There just is. And I would say this for some of you that are sitting here that would say, I never had the chance to remain innocent because this happened to me when I was a little girl or a little boy. There's grace for that too. And there's healing for that too. You just need to know that. But it doesn't change the standard. The reason it hurts so bad is because God set a standard that the only way you don't get hurt is you remain a virgin until you get married and then you just stay with that one person till death do you part. That's God's standard. Now, you won't hear that from Hollywood. You won't hear that abstinence is cool. You won't hear that virginity is God's design. You'll hear that you're square, that you're weird, that you're stupid, that all these different things. But here's the deal. If you want to go down the broad road and you want to live immorally, you can find myriads of ways to do that. You want to go down that narrow road? It's a narrow road. Not everybody's going down that way. And because of that, that's why the enemy lies to you and says, you walk down that narrow road, you keep staying a virgin, I promise you there's no other virgins in the world but you. And he's a liar. He's a total liar. Because he just doesn't want you to walk with God and go all in. Here's the deal. You want to find your mate and you want to be single? Go all in with Jesus Christ. That's the best way to find him. Trust God's leading in your life. Trust his words in your life. The lie of the world is have all the sex now before you get married, because when you do, you'll never have enough sex. The Bible makes it clear that it's just the opposite. Wait until you're married and then have all the sex that you possibly can to satisfy one another in a loving relationship. That's God's design. Let me talk to those of you here who are living together, okay? before you get up and leave and sweat about what I'm about to say. The reason you're living together is because there's part of God's design that feels good. And it's like, okay, we know it's good and we want to get married, but we're not married, but we're living together. What's God say? He says, you're wrong and he's judging what you're doing. Stop living together. Like when? Today. You're not living together anymore after today. Move out. Like be done with it. If you said, yeah, but we love each other and want to get married, then I'm just going to go out on a limb. Here's what I tell you. Move out today. Come talk to one of our pastors. Say, we want to get married. We'll host the service here like in the next 2 weeks right after service. Wouldn't you like to be part of the wedding ceremony? Wouldn't you like to see that? Because there's forgiveness for that too, but you're never going to accomplish what God wants by living together and doing it opposite of what he wants. And if you say, well, I don't know that we're ready for that, then move out until you are. Well, who should move out? The guy. But it's my house. Then don't have her living there in the first place. Be a man. Honor the Lord. Do it right. If you really care about what God wants, then you'll do what he wants. And there's forgiveness for any sin in your past. Two wrongs don't make a right. Let me explain. Well, we've been dating and now we had sex, so I guess I'm trapped. We have to get married. No, you don't. There's forgiveness for that, and then there's walking in truth for a while and seeing what God wants to do. You're not trapped. Don't feel forced to come to the altar. I mean, if you're a bride and you're getting ready to walk down, and your daddy's bringing you down, you're like, I'm not so sure. Don't walk down the aisle. If you're a guy and you're standing here with the pastor and you're like, I don't know, I'll walk you out. Like marriage is not the thing that you're like, I hope it works. It's a covenant before God till one of you dies. It's not something to play around with, amen? It's a big deal. So trust is leading. And next week we're going to talk about redemption in all sorts of ways of divorce and remarriage and widowing and all those different things. But here's the thing I would tell you. Talk to a pastor. We'll help you. We'll provide answers for you. We'll show you, here's what God says and here's what he wants you to do. But God created everything and he created it good, amen? So, I've only met two guys in my entire life, I'm 53 now, that have told me to my face that I believe that they're called to live a single celibate life. I've met two. One is on the mission field in the Czech Republic, which is one of the hardest languages to learn. And as we've spent time together, and he's been a missionary for the last 30 years, he told me, I just want to learn the language. I want to share Jesus. I devote all my time. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I feel like I'm giving God everything. I said, aren't you tempted? He's like, not really. I don't really want that. It feels like a burden to me. And one other guy that I know that has three doctorate degrees, one in theology, one in medicine, and one as a research degree. And he practices medicine and teaches in a theological seminary and does different things. And he works about 14 hours a day and travels all over the country. And to him, it feels like a burden to get married. And I believe those two guys. And they're not around whining and complaining, where's my wife? But those are the two guys I've met. Most guys I meet are like, dude, I want to get married. And here's how you know, because when we do premarital counseling, when Kim and I have done premarital counseling, we'll ask people like the week before the wedding, what are you looking forward to? And the bride's like, the companionship and just being together and the wedding day and it's going to be so fun. And then we look at the husband like, what are you looking forward to? He starts blushing like, can I tell you the truth? I'm looking forward to the wedding night, bro. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's what God created. But here's the fact. You don't get a better marriage by practicing a lot of dating. You're better off if you've never dated. And you meet one and you just go make it work. Amen? That's point one. All right. We'll keep flying through this. Trust God's leading. Second is this. Trust God's presence. Trust God's presence. When we trust his leading, we're hearing it's the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. Here's his presence. He will be with you. He's going to be with you. I mean, the Old Testament, when you see that God had his hand on somebody, it says this, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You want the Lord's presence with you. And here's the reality. If you're born again through repentance and faith, the Spirit of God indwells you. And everywhere you go, that's where you take God. He goes on every single date with you. He goes in the back seat of every single car with you. He goes down to the basement when you say, we're just going to watch a movie with you. I mean, he goes everywhere with you. You're never alone. Fear not, for I am with you. I've called you by name. You're mine. I'm there. And here's what I would tell you. You need to experience God's presence as a single. Because if you don't experience God's presence as a single, you'll never experience his presence as a married person. God wants you to experience him. You say, well, how do I do that? Here's what I would say. Find a church that's a Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. Find a place to serve in that church. Build friendships in the church. Learn how to share the gospel through the church. Go all in with Jesus in the church. Don't just show up and be like, wonder if there's any hot girls at that church. Don't do that. Right? Go all in with Jesus and go all in with his mission for what he wants you to do so you know exactly what God's called you to as a single. We got too many confused singles that don't even know why they're placed on planet Earth, that then they want to get married to somebody else that doesn't know why they're on planet Earth. And because neither of them have a vision for their life, they get married and it's really, really hard. So if you think you're lonely now, get married. You can see how lonely marriage really feels, right? If you're an unsatisfied victim now, you're probably one of the most unattractive singles there is in the world. Don't play the victim of, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I wish I were married, and all that kind of stuff. Just pray, period. Just seek his face, experience his presence, fall more in love with Jesus all the time. And while you're single, use this time for three things. This is what you can do to maximize your time with the Lord, okay? Use this time to live on mission. Live on mission. Like, go all in with Jesus. If you get an opportunity to do a mission trip, do a mission trip. You get an opportunity to share the gospel in the city, go share the gospel in the city. You get the opportunity to witness to someone in your neighborhood, witness to someone in your neighborhood. You get an opportunity to bring people over to your house, bring people over to your house. Like, go all in with Jesus. Like, seek him and say, where do you want me to serve? I got all this time. I got all this energy. Like, what do you want me to do? And where do you want me to go? Like, I'll give you everything I have, Lord, as a single. And that's what I want. So go all in the mission. And the mission is to honor him, serve him, share the gospel, and build others up. And there's myriads of opportunity in every Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. There's certainly myriads of opportunity here at Brave. Like, I want to get involved. I don't know how. Come talk to a pastor. We'll plug you in this week. We'll help you discover your unique abilities and unique gifts that God's given you and get you serving so that you're satisfied. So that's number one. Use this time to go all in and live on mission. Number two, use this time to discover your ministry. What's unique about you? How are you going to live out your kingdom calling? Is it going to be in vocational ministry? Is it going to be as a doctor, a teacher, a nurse, a coach? Like, what are you wanting to do? And men especially, if you don't know that, stop dating. Because if you don't know what you're doing, guys, and you're dating, the only reason you're dating is to put your eyes on somebody else rather than to keep your eyes on Jesus. And ladies, don't go after a guy that doesn't know where he's going. You'll be miserable. When you ask a guy, where are you going to be in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 10 years? I don't know. Maybe still at my parents' house. You don't want to marry that guy. Have him know where he's going to go. What's he doing? What's his goals? What's his passion? What's his track record? What's his trajectory? What's his unique gift? Why is he on the earth? He should be able to articulate all those things to you. And don't follow somebody that's not going anywhere. Amen? So discover your unique ability, your unique ministry, the way God's wired you. And then use this time to pray for your mate. Ask God to bring you somebody that's going in the direction that you're going. Because if you're both doing that, there's a guy that's all in with Jesus and he knows who he is, and there's a gal that's all in with Jesus and she knows who she is, God will bring you alongside at just the right time. Be like, we fit, let's go. That's what God does. God brings the woman to the man. He always does that. Like, I'm 40. He hasn't done that for me. Trust the Lord's leading and trust the Lord's timing and trust the Lord's presence. And if you're satisfied with the things of God and you're content in him, he may just surprise you at just the right time. I find that as I walk with the Lord, it's never in my timing. It's never my way. I met my wife at the age of 32. If somebody would have told me you're going to get married at 34 when I was a teenager, I would have cried. But upon hindsight, what I realize is sometimes when the Lord takes time to give you what you've been praying for, it's because he's building things inside of you to make them better. When Elizabeth was praying for a son and she could not get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant. When she finally got pregnant, she gave birth to the forerunner, John the Baptist, of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. when Hannah was weeping tears in 1 Samuel 1 because she couldn't get pregnant. When she did, she gave birth to the first prophet of the entire nation, Samuel. When God takes his time, it's because he's building things in your life. Looking back on my life, had I been married 10 years earlier, I would not have been involved in ministry to the same degree that I was. There's no way I would have gone and got the education that I did because I was going to school 7 or 8 hours a day and serving the Lord full-time in ministry. I wouldn't have had time for a wife. Wasn't thinking about it that way at the time. And just being totally candid with you, there were some things that the Lord needed to redeem in my life over the years because I didn't live this teaching nor hear this teaching when I was growing up. And he needed to redeem some areas before I could meet the right person. And I poured into him and I was satisfied in him. And when I was, there was my wife. And I didn't even ask for it. So don't be worried about the timing of when things happen. Trust God's presence in your life. Seek his face. Come to the prayer meetings. Journal. Go after God. Experience him personally, publicly, privately. Trust his presence. Number three is this. Can you please, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, trust God's ability? Trust his ability. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will lead you. He will be with you. That's his presence. What does it say about God? He will not fail you or forsake you. Do you believe God's ability? He won't fail you or forsake you. He's strong. He's all powerful. He created the world in 6 literal days. He flooded the entire globe while saving 8 people. He gave his only begotten son as incarnate flesh into a teenage girl who gave birth to the Savior of the world, who said, "For with my God, nothing will be impossible." Stop believing the lie. He cannot bring you a mate. When God created Eve from Adam's rib, he brought her the same day. When Isaac met Rebecca, he married her the same day. I mean, think about this. If God had the ability and strength to lead Noah to build an ark to save humanity, if he could lead Moses back to Israel to save Egypt, if he could use David to slay Goliath, or Elijah to destroy the prophets of Baal, or Joseph and Mary to raise the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Paul to share the gospel around the world, do you think it's possible he could bring you a mate? I mean, we read these stories like, our God's possible, our God's incredible, our God can do all things, our God can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to his glorious power that's at work within me, except he can't bring me a mate. That is so beyond his ability level. Are you kidding me right now? I mean, sometimes I wish I could do an exchange program after church, and instead of doing an altar call for prayer, we just brought all the singles up and say, who do you like? We'll have the wedding now. We'll put it online. Your parents can watch and we'll celebrate with you, right? We spend way too much time focusing on the wedding day and way less time focusing on being the right person when we get married. And I'm not downplaying a special wedding day. I still remember mine. They're special. There's something about getting a photographer, getting a videographer and all those things. There's something special about dressing up. I get all that. But what's more important than that is how you spiritually prepared for the relationship you're going to have for the rest of your life. And if the only teaching you've ever got is don't have sex and marry a Christian, you're grossly impoverished for what you're about ready to experience. God wants you to spend time on you, building you, letting God build you so you know who you are. Because marriage will have enough trouble of its own. Amen? It just will. But when you seek the face of the Lord and you go after him, God has the ability to bring the right person at the right time. He can do it. Stop acting like a victim. Just trust him. He's got you. He's got you. Do you trust his ability today? Because even as I'm talking, I know the enemy's talking to some of you like, well, he hasn't done it yet. It's not like he sees you. I mean, look at you. You've been faithful all these years. And I saw, you know, there's a teenager that got married the other day and you're 40. He doesn't love you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he sees your faithfulness and he knows what you're doing and he believes in what you're doing. So honor him and believe that God has the ability. He's not failing you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. There's not one person that's going to get to heaven who's lived obediently to Christ who said, you called me to get married and you never brought me anybody. There's nobody in heaven complaining to God. Do you know that? Nobody's there complaining about what he didn't do. Everybody's there worshiping him for doing far more abundantly than anything that we ever deserved. Amen? And if you're grateful as a single and you bring that into your marriage, it will help your marriage to sizzle. Amen? And that's what he would have for you. And let me give you this final one. And I get all this. I remember being about 30 years old. I was officiating a wedding of a couple kids in my youth group. The guy was 19, the gal was 23, and I'm officiating. And by the way, to officiate a wedding ceremony is one of the easiest things to do. You basically read vows and you go back and forth. It's not very hard to do. And I'm going through the routine, but the whole time I'm standing there, I'm having this out-of-body experience with God, like, they're 19 and 23. I've gone to seminary. I've served as a pastor. I'm doing it right. Where's my wife? Do you take this woman to be? You know, I mean, that's what was going on. And it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to pour out your heart to God. And it's okay to say, Lord, is there anything in me that needs to change? Is there anything in me you're building? Lord, it's frustrating to me because I really desire to be married. That's what I want. What am I doing wrong? Let the Lord speak to you, but trust him. He has the ability to change things and change things in your life quickly. Amen? And let me give you this final one. If you're going to trust God's leading and his presence and his ability, then do this final one. Trust God's counsel. Trust God's counsel. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do not fear or be dismayed. I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of singles this week, asking them, what should I talk about? And some have told me, I'm just afraid to get married. I've seen a lot of marriages, even among Christians. It's hard. How do I know I picked the right one? How do I know? There's always a step of faith in going forward. Amen? There's always a wondering. But don't be afraid that this may not work out. I mean, if you're doing the right things, if you're being the right person, if you're bringing along a council of people that love the Lord, that you're willing to let speak into your life, and by the way, you should do that. I mean, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says it in this way. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says it like this. It says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. I mean, if there's godly Christian people in your life, talk to them. Say, what do you think about this person that I'm dating? Could you spend some time with them and give me your insight? Because I'd really like to hear from you. Now, that's not a fail-safe way, but it also helps because sometimes people can meet, but you need to stop this one right now. There's no way. And by the way, here's what I would say. Don't marry potential. Please don't marry potential. Here's the lie before you get married. Once you get married, he'll change. Once you get married, she'll change. You know what the lie is after you get married? There ain't no way he's gonna change. There's no way she's gonna change. Both are lies, but don't marry potential. Well, he comes to church. Did he lead you there? Was he already attending before you came? Who are the people in his life that he can take you to that have been his spiritual mentors that can talk about his character? Has she been walking with the Lord? Has she been a servant? How long has she been a servant? When did she come to know Christ? What's her testimony? What do other women say about her? What do her parents say about her? I mean, what's the character of this person? Because infatuation causes blindness. Oh yeah, you don't know, but I mean, if she was around me, I know I can change her. Don't marry somebody you can fix. Don't be a fixer. Just being candid, don't be a fixer. I remember when I started dating my wife, it was hard because I had been in relationships where I was the fixer. I didn't know I was the fixer, but I was the fixer. I was like, no, you can do this and we can get there. That was the role I played. I met my wife, she didn't need me. Like, well, what's my role if you don't need me? It was, you need to lead for Christ. That's what I need you to do. I got this, right? And the same is true for a woman. You don't need to drag your guy to church or tell him to get involved in a cadre or tell him to get involved in, oh, he's doing what I want him to do. If he's only doing it because you're saying it, after you get married, he won't do it anymore. I mean, you got to see the character, but don't be afraid. And the word dismayed, it's a stronger word even than fear. It means terror. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I mean, some of you are so dismayed, like God could never fix this. I wish I would have heard this when I was 12. I wish I would have gone after the Lord. I've messed this thing up. God can meet you right where you are today, give you his grace, redeem you from the inside out, make you fresh and clean, and take you on a new path. Amen? That's what our God can do. So men, when you're looking for a wife, look for a woman that's a servant. Look for somebody that's been serving other people already. Look for a woman with great character. Look for a woman that knows the Lord, that loves the Lord. You can't fake that. Women, look for a man that's a hard worker. Works. It's godly. It's got character. Does the right thing. What he says is what he means. What he says is what he does. Do that. I mean, and the reality is, I mean, you'll never find a perfect person. You need to know that. You'll never find a perfect person. I tell my kids all the time, they'll never find a perfect mate. I mean, Jesus has already ascended to heaven and I already married your mother. So you're not gonna find perfection. Amen? I thought that was good. But what you can do is you can be your best. I know of a story of a gal that was 30-ish, was serving in a church, and went to talk to an older man. It was about 30 years her senior, who was a godly man in the church, and she said, you know, I'm frustrated that I'm not married. Would you be willing to speak into my life about these things? And he asked the question, he's like, could I be candid with you? She said, yes. He's like, okay, if I can be candid, here's what I would tell you. He goes, I love you enough to tell you this, but I'm just being honest. For you to be your best, you should probably lose a little weight, and you probably want to wear a little bit of makeup, and you want to dress a little bit different. And he goes, I don't mean to be harsh, but I'm just telling you the truth, that guys are visual, and you have a great heart, and you have a great personality, but you know what? That would be helpful to you. She took his advice, and she was married within a year. Now, here's what I'm not trying to say. I'm not trying to say you need to have 2% body fat. I'm not trying to say you need to, if you're a guy, you need to be totally, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm like, can you take care of yourself? Do you have good personal hygiene? Do you take care of your finances? Can you be the best version of you, right? That's what I'm saying. Because sometimes we wonder, well, why is this not happening? But we're not really taking care of ourselves. We're not really focused on being our best for somebody else. We're thinking that they need to be their best for me, but I don't need to be my best for them. And while you're a single, it gives you the opportunity to say, God, is there anything in my life that maybe I could change or maybe I could be better? Does that make sense? So take God's counsel, but take the counsel of other people that love you. Because I really believe with my whole heart that God loves families, that God loves marriage, that God loves children. And if there's a burden in your heart that says, that's what I want, there's something that God's still doing in your heart that he either needs to put to bed, or there's some things he's trying to grow you in to bring you together. And singles, just so you know, you can talk to some of our pastors, there's some events we're going to put together. They're not hyper-spiritual events. It's just to get you together with other godly Christian people of Brave so that you can mingle and meet, because that's important. And what better place to do it than in church? What better place to meet your spouse than in church rather than at a bar when everybody's out getting drunk or doing drugs or whatever? Meet them here. Meet somebody that's serving full-time with the Lord. There's a lot of people here you haven't met. I promise you that. Kim and I talk to people after every single service. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I want to get married, pray for me, I want to get married. Praying for you, trusting God for you. We trust his leading, we trust his ability, we trust his presence, and we trust his counsel. And so here's what I would say to you, and I'd say this to you as a married person, but I also specifically say it to you as a single person. You want the best for your future? Go all in with Jesus. Go all in with Jesus. I remember thinking when God was calling me to ministry, if I go all in with Jesus and I become a pastor and I do, it's going to limit my pool. Friends, you want God to limit your pool. Go all in with Jesus. He's got your best. He designed you. He knows you. And if you're single now, or you're single 5 years from now, or you're single 15 years from now, singleness is not a curse. It's not a victimization. It's what God has in you now. As I speak this message today, I'm a married man. Will I always be? I will be till death do we part. But if my wife precedes me in death, I'll be single again at some point in time. If I precede my wife in death, she'll be single at some point in time, right? And she's watched The Notebook. She hopes we go together in the same bed holding hands, right? But, and maybe we will. That'd be beautiful, baby, if we did that. But at the end of the day, this would be true to me or true of my wife if one of us precedes the other one in death. And if my wife leaves, well, I would grieve greatly. It doesn't make me less than. I'm still a child of the Most High God. Amen? And that's why we're here. So as I close, I want to tell you this. We have a lot to be thankful for. If you're living together, hey, while you're living in sin, we still love you. We still love you. Meet with one of our pastors. We'll help navigate this for you. And if you do want to get married, if there's 40 of you, we'll do a whole service for it. I mean, we will celebrate. We'll be your whole audience. Wouldn't that be awesome to have like 30 or 40 people get married? And we'll pray for you. And by the way, we're not trying to set you up either. I remember when I was single, hey, I got this great gal. I don't want to go. If you're married, give singles a break. They may not want to go meet all your friends, right? But let's trust God for his greatness in our lives. Let's all go live on mission to the fullness of Christ. And let's trust God to do his best in and through us. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He will be with you and he will lead you. Because the promises of Jesus are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. Can we stand, please? Our Father in heaven, we give you all the thanks and praise and gratitude for all that you're doing in our lives. And so sometimes, Lord, we're blind to those things and we can't see those things, but you're still working. Lord, I pray for all those who are single here today who desire to be married, that, Lord, they would take seriously going all in with you, trusting you, and that, Lord, you would bring them their spouse at just the right time. You'd prepare their heart, not for their wedding day, but for their marriage. And Lord, for those who would say, I desire to be single, that you would give them grace upon grace to honor you in that way. And that, Lord, whether we're married or whether we're single, that we would give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, and tell you, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. And it's in Christ's name that we pray today. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise for who he is?